Jeremy Clayton is the chairperson of FIDASA in the Western Cape, joins me on the line now. Jeremy, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and morning to all the listeners.
Now, Stats SA recently issuing a report on insolvencies and liquidations, and your sector, accommodation, food and beverage, you really have been damaged by COVID-19, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's obviously, look, tourism globally has been damaged by COVID-19. In South Africa, one of the key challenges we've faced is relatively inconsistent application of the regulations or the laws that have come out. And that's been incredibly challenging for the industry. And then obviously the slow initial vaccination rollout is the current damaging impact.
Just to clarify then, inconsistent meaning that you're often not aware today what's going to be happening next week, because as we saw with the recent announcement by the president, he hardly gave any notice to the sector that we'll be moving to alert level 4, therefore no sale of alcohol, no restaurants open. 2 weeks later, restaurants were open, but no sale of alcohol. 2 weeks later, restaurants can be operational up until 11, 8 or 9, whatever the time is, in order for you and your staff to meet the curfew requirements. So inconsistency in that sense, you mean?
Yeah, I'd say in that sense, as well as the inconsistency, if you compare South Africa to the rest of the world. And whilst, to a degree, the international skies are starting to open and international borders are starting to open, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, we are still very much on the red list of some of our core markets, and our legislation has been non-aligned with many of the international markets. So there's an inconsistency there as well. And then, as you rightly point out, it's just a very short time frame to prepare. Now, when COVID just started, I understand that people had to make rapid decisions, but we've been very aware of second and third and you know, potentially fourth waves, and we hope that early decisions can be made that will bring about a better chance of survival within the hospitality industry.
Let's explore that, because according to Stats SA, liquidations increased by 46.2% in the second quarter of 2021 compared with the second quarter of 2020. That's a staggering increase, right? It recorded an increase of 30.7% in the first 6 months of 2021 compared with the first 6 months of 2020. What needs to happen, do you think? What could happen tomorrow, if possible, that will stop the increase in the number of entities and establishments that are closing down?
Well, I think the first primary thing is what we've been asking government for ages, and that's greater support within the industry. It's very obvious that a few of the sectors have done incredibly well through COVID, and then a couple have done incredibly poorly, and tourism is the one that obviously is right at the top there of the poor performing sectors. We've been lobbying for support with rates. You know, many of the hotels and restaurants that we represent are still paying rates to this day, and often the rates that they're paying is higher than the revenue they're making in that month. It's unsustainable. We've also been talking to government and really would like to request a deferment of taxes, PAYE, liquor licenses, for example. A lot of the restaurants and bars have still to pay liquor licenses in 2020 and 2021. And like many of the government associations or departments, it's been almost impossible to get answers out of them or deferments out of them. And all of these things add up. And unfortunately, what's happened is most hoteliers and restaurateurs have put their own life savings into the business to try and save it. And it's just not sustainable. So we hope that the government can support more financially. The TERS system is a good system, but it needs to be a bit faster flowing. Unfortunately, I know of a lot of our members that are still waiting for their TERS payments for their staff. 6 months down the line, 7-8 months down the line. And then, as you know, TERS is often only communicated to the industry a week or a month after it's actually come into play. So it's just too late at that stage. So we're hoping for faster, proactive communication and some kind of financial assistance to the industry as a primary. And then the secondary, I mentioned earlier, Africa, it's all about the vaccinations at this stage. I think if you look at the UK, it's a great sort of model that's happening there, and it's going to be a very good indicator for the rest of the world. But it's a highly vaccinated population that are now out and about, you know, at times going to stadiums, 100,000 people, going to Wimbledon, 100 and whatever thousand people. And at this stage, the hospital rate and the mortality rate is relatively low. So if that model works and we see that a highly vaccinated population can be out and about and interact and without much regulation, I think the rest of the world will follow. And I hope that South Africans go out en masse, as they have been doing, and vaccinate more and more and more, and that would help us greatly in reducing any impact of the fourth wave.
And we are seeing, I suppose, a move in the right direction there, right, where the 35 to 49-year-old cohort has really, really been demanding those vaccines. And 1st of September is a date when 18-year-olds to 34-year-olds will be able to register. And I'm hoping and anticipating a similar, if not even a greater, demand from those South Africans who qualify to obviously get that vaccine. Because, as you say, Jeremy, the sooner we get inoculated, the sooner I think the administration will be in a much better position to be able to say, let's open up more of the market. Let me ask a slightly insensitive question. How do you think the sector is being affected by the fact that the acting Minister of Health is the tourism minister?
Africa, I don't have a concise answer for you. All I can say is that I think in her personal capacity, it appears that she's dealt very well with the vaccine rollout in the health space. And she's thrown her weight in there wholeheartedly. I suppose by default, therefore, it means that maybe she's not applying enough time into the hospitality sector. And I suppose it is sort of a problem that we have across South Africa. We often have acting roles in government or people on long-term suspensions. And it's almost impossible for a department to function properly. So I imagine... And certainly I don't want to get too involved in the political space here, but I imagine it is right that the sooner the better, if we could have a formal appointment as the health minister and either the health minister, either the tourism minister remains in her portfolio or moves across to the health portfolio, so that whoever is heading up the hospitality or tourism portfolio is fully focused on what needs to happen, because it is a tough role to be doing both at this stage, and I certainly wouldn't want that job.
No, it certainly is. Let me ask this question then. What responsibility are your members accepting to ensure that should business open up in the numbers that it needs to, that they will continue to make it safe for their patronage to obviously not be infected by COVID-19? And I ask this, Jeremy, specifically because we have seen in a previous, I would say a couple of months ago, maybe before the third wave of the Delta variant, particularly impacting on Gauteng, there were restaurants that were not keeping to 50% of capacity. There were other establishments that were also trading beyond what is acceptable in terms of hours, and crying, understandably, saying that they need the trade in order to obviously pay the rent, pay the staff, and all those kind of things. But they were going in direct contravention to what is a regulated, therefore legally obliging set of regulations that we are supposed to be applying.
Yeah, so look, I think there are anomalies out there. Let me take you back first. In March, April 2020, when this all started, Fedhauser was at the forefront of developing really robust industry protocols. We worked with the WTTA standard, and we've got a document that is lengthy, it's comprehensive, and it's continuously updated. And again, 9 out of 10, or probably higher, 95, 98% of our members apply it strictly. I remember talking to you probably a year ago, where I commented that I felt safer walking around in a hotel than I did in many other spaces in that you were going to, shopping malls, and certainly the hospitals even at that stage. And the hotels have spent a huge amount of time and money training their staff and implementing good safety procedures. Absolutely, there are anomalies out there. I think especially in the bar world, the restaurant world, where we had young patrons going and they were having a few drinks, and obviously then things got out of hand. But we've also, as Fedhauser, pre-Christmas, when that second wave came, and pre-Easter, when we were expecting a third wave to come, we had engaged with the authorities. We had frequently communicated with our members, and the message is always very similar. we as owners of business and managers of business needed to act responsibly to make sure that we were seen in the right light and to prevent a further health disaster and economic disaster. But the responsibility is twofold. In fact, it's threefold. It sits with the owners of the business. It sits with the members of the public that are going to those businesses, whether it be the beach, whether it be outdoor parks, whether it be malls or movies for that matter. And then the third party is the government. We all need to work together to get through the health crisis and the economic crisis. And you know, right now, our clear role is to make sure that the industry survives. Because there are, in my view, there are better times ahead. I think, you know, I live in Cape Town, but I travel extensively throughout South Africa and Africa. And it's an amazing destination. Tourism will come back. There was a great McKinsey report released on the weekend, which really indicates how leisure tourism will boom. And we need to make sure that we have the product and the labor force ready for when it comes back.
All right, Jeremy, we'll hold it there. Thank you very much. Jeremy Clayton, Cape Chairperson of FIDASA.